We're going to read here at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet by the Mishnah. This Mishnah says, El Dvarim Asurim Limkor LeOved Kochavim. These items you may not sell to an Oved Kochavim. The list includes items that we assume that they would use towards the worship of Avodah Zarah, and that would be a problem with Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol, that you're enabling or providing for them items that will allow them to worship their Avodah Zarah. The items are Yitzstroblin, Ubenot Shuach, Upetutrot, Ulivona, Vetarnagol Alavan. All of these items which the Gemara will discuss when we get there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mutar Limkor Lo Tarnagol Lavan Ben HaTarnagolim. If he doesn't sell him specifically a rooster or a white chicken, then that's fine. As long as it's included in a larger number of chickens or roosters that are being sold over here, then that's fine because he's not specifically buying the white one. Again, the Gemara will discuss what exactly that means. If he's selling him just the white rooster, then you cut off one of its fingers, and then sell it, though. The Oved Chachavim have some mumim that they will not permit or they will not allow to be brought onto their mizbuchot. And one of those items is mechuser eiver, if it's missing one of its limbs. And over here, so if you cut off the finger, then you could sell it to him because he will no longer use it for the purpose of a avodah zarah, because you know for certain that he can't be makriv such an item once the finger is cut off. Shar kol adrim staman mutar uferishan asur. Any other item, which we don't know whether it will be used for avodah zarah or not, if you sell it and they don't specify what they're going to use it for, you can assume that it's being used for mundane purposes, not for avodah zarah, and you can sell it to them. Uperishan, if they specify the fact that they are selling it, then it's asur. Rabbi Meir Omer, af dekel tav v'chatzav asur. Not only are the items that we mentioned up earlier in the Mishnah, but also these additional items are also problematic. Asur limkor l'avdei chachavim, that are impermissible to sell to an ovid chachavim. Again, the Gemara will go through each of these items to discover what they are. So the first thing the Gemara asks is, ma yitzstroblin? What are these yitzstroblin? So Gemara says, it's tornita. Tornita is this is stroblin. Now Rashi says our tornita is a min eres. It's a type of cedar, and it's vihishita. Shita, which is in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, there the Gemara lays out 10 different types of arazim. And here it's talking about one of those arazim is called the shita, which is either a pine or a cypress that he's speaking about over here. And the Gemara then says, viriminhu, is that really true? We have a braita, osif alehen. This is talking about items that they added on for shvi'it, that had kedushat shvi'it. The items that they added on were first of an alachsin. Alachsin are some type of or species of pistachio. It's droblin, which is the item that we're discussing here. And mukhasasim. Over here, we're going to go with the pshat of Rashi right now, which is that it's some species of fig. Ubenot shuach. And then another type of fig. All of these items do have kedushat shvi'it. V'isal kadatcha it's droblin tornita. If you think that it's droblin is really tornita, is this type of cedar is a pine or a cypress, tornita mi'ita b'shvi'it. Why does tornita have a kedushat shvi'it? Because we have a principle, but Tanya, we have a braita, Zeaklau. This is the principle. Koshi yeshlo ikar, yeshlo shvi'it. Anything that has an ikar. Now Rashi calls what's an ikar is that it's kaim ba'aretz mimot gshamim. It has a root that stays even through the winter time. It stays in the ground through the winter time, and then it'll come up. It's a perennial type of plant or produce that comes through, and then that has kedushat shvi'it. V'koshi yeshlo ikar, something that doesn't have a permanent fixture in the ground, yeshlo shvi'it. So over here, how could you claim that the tornita, if it is a shita, if it's a pine or a cypress, how could you claim that that's the definition of what an itztroblin is? Because we have a din by shvi'it, that such an item would not have kedushat shvi'it, because it's not mitkayim ba'aretz, v'motar gishamim. It doesn't last through the winter time. And therefore you could, there's no din of kedushat shvi'it on them, you could trade with them, you could do whatever you want with them, there's no mitzvah to hafkir otam in that instance. Selam Rav Safra, Peirei D'Arza. It's not the tree itself, but rather the fruits of the arza, Peirei D'Arza, which Rashi translates as golnut, and so some sort of gall that he translates as being the fruit, and the Rashbam, in the name of Rashi, says that the Peirot Ha'ilan Shekorim pine, they're fruits from the pine tree, v'yesh bo garinin, and has some sort of seeds, v'enu ra'i le'achila, they're not normally eaten, so therefore they do not normally, or originally, did not have kedushat shvi'it. Later on, they were gozer that they did have kedushat shvi'it. We're talking about these fruits, either the fruits of the pine or the fruits of the cypress that we're discussing over here. Now that's Rashi's understanding of what we just read over here. Number one, he says that shvit is taloi, and whether the root or there's some sort of base that stays in the ground from whatever is being grown, that's what's mechayev you in shvit. And number two is it suggests in the tornita, the description of itstroben, our first attempt at what it is that it's either a pine or a cypress. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi for a number of reasons. He says, how could that be the explanation or the determining factor of shvit, is whether it stays in the ground over the through the winter? I'll give you the best example. He says, tvua, grains. Grains, we know for certain, have kedushat shvi'it, and yet they don't stay in the ground all. They're planted every year. They don't stand through the year. Each year you replant. They are items that need to have be seeded each year and replanted. So why would you say that that's the qualification for shvi'it? That doesn't make any sense. Number two is, we know that a shita, a pine or a cypress, do last through the winter time. So why would Rashi suggest about them that they don't have kedushat shvi'it? So therefore, they reject this idea that the tornita over here is a pine or a cypress, or an erez, a type of cedar. And therefore, the Tosfos says, Lachem perish rotam detrei gavna tornita ninhu. There are two different types of tornita. Va'ayid ha'och, and the one over here is min adma ke'ein kavrita perish gafrit. It's some type of pitch or sulfur that doesn't have an ikar, doesn't have a shorish, doesn't have a root in the ground, not in the summertime and not in the wintertime. It never has some sort of root in the ground. And therefore, that was why originally they didn't think they should assign any kedushat shvi'it to it. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here. If you're talking about this tornita being this idea of admaut, that it's some sort of pitch or sulfur that comes out of the ground, then why would you ever assume that it should have kedushat shvi'it? It doesn't make sense that that's the explanation. And therefore, they ask from the question of shvi'it. So that's how the Rabbeinu Tam explains what the tornita is over here. Right now the Gemara says, what are benot shuach that are found in our Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Archana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Teini Chivayarta, they are white figs. So now, Tosfos asks on this, benot shuach sound like white figs. These white figs sound like they are something that is significant, that is, you're not allowed to sell them to a Oved Kochavim, because he's going to use them in his Avodah, he's going to use them as worship of the Avodah Zarah. Yet we find in many other places that, for instance, Benot Shuach don't have Kedushat Shvi'it, which we just read in the Braita before. And that's because Benot Shuach sound like they're a Perei Geruah, they're a poor quality of fruit. So if they're a poor quality of fruit, why is it that they don't have Kedushat Shvi'it, yet they're going to use towards the Avodah Zarah? So that it sounds like they benot shuach are something that is significant, yet we have breito that seem to suggest they are not significant. Part of that answer might rely or might be related to the fact that in some places the Gemara uses benot shuach, and some places the Gemara uses benot shuach. And you can actually differentiate some, like the Oruch, differentiates between benot sheva or benot shuach and benot shuach, and that might solve some of the problem. Tosus equates and says that the two are synonymous. If they're synonymous, then why? How do I explain these differences in these fruits that are coming up? So therefore, Tosus says that, no, in the end, you must say that benot shuach are a chashuv pri. And why is it that we don't worry about shvi'it, and we don't worry about them bringing a masrot from these items? Because these are items that also grow wild. Since they grow wild and domesticated, we don't worry, or we're not choshei, someone who's growing them in their garden, that they won't take off trumot or masrot, that they won't keep shvi'it, because they're plentiful, or there are plenty available out in the wild. So there's no reason for him to cheat on these items, or to hoard these items, because he can get them out from the hefker. So that's Tosfos's explanation of this benod shuach, that it really is something that is significant, and the tour by shvi'it is not because it's poor quality, but rather because it's easily found or it's ubiquitous in the fact that it's found throughout in the wild. The other possibility, which the Tosfos brings down, is that the possibility that there are three different types of te'anim. There are white te'anim, there are black te'anim, and then there's this species called benot shuach. And those benot shuach come in a good form and a bad form. They have quality benot shuach and they have bad benot shuach. So when we're discussing it being in a chashuv state, that's when we have the good quality benot shuach. Those are used toward avodah zarah, and those are in the gemaras when we're talking about things that are positive. Benot shuach, they also come in a poor quality form. That poor quality form is talking about, for instance, in shvi'it and other instances where we say that they are not significant. The last answer, the last thing that those who suggest this, is that based on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam suggests that benot shuach, that we're reading our Mishnah incorrectly. Benot shuach are a significant fruit, but that braita that we quoted before about shvi'it, which says mukasasim ubenot shuach, we have a vav there, which indicates there are two different species. There's mukasasim, which are species of fig, and then benot shuach, which are also species of fig, the white fig that we spoke about. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam combines the two and says, no, it's one item. It's not two separate items, but a single item, that these are mukasasim benot shuach. They are species or a subspecies of benot shuach. Benot shuach in general general Oar Chashuv, but what we're talking about there in Shvi'it, and the times that we're talking about these Garua types, we're talking about these Mikusasim B'nai Shuach, a subset of the B'nai Shuach called the Mikusasim. Those are the items that we're speaking about that don't have Kedushat Shvi'it. So over here we have, again, explanation of what happened in our Mishnah. The items that you're not allowed to sell are these Strublin. According to Rashi, he's talking about some sort of pine or cypress fruit. That's what the Gemara concluded. Whereas Tosafot says, no, that we're talking about here this Tornita. Originally, what the Gemara suggested is that Tornita is some sort of sulfur or pitch. Then the Gemara switches to Perid Arza, which is the fruits of the cedar, or the fruits of the pine, which Tosafot suggests, which may not have been edible. Then we said that Benot Shuach, which are these white figs, those are also not allowed to be sold. And here we discuss the different possibilities of why they can't be sold if they are significant. Maybe because they can't be sold as significant, or because they're a particular species, which is not synonymous with the species that we find in the Mishnah or the Braita in Shvi'it. Okay, next, the Mishnah lists out upetutrot. So Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, bepetutrotehem shanu. Petutrot is not a separate species or separate item in the Mishnah that we cannot sell to them, but rather it's defining all that came before it. And that is bepetutrotehem, is with their stems on it. You may not sell all the fruits beforehand in the Mishnah with their stems on it. It means the strobel and b'no chuach can't be sold with their stems on them, because they will hang those fruits, or they will use them to worship the Avodah Zarah by hanging them up or using them as a decoration. Rather than if they don't have the stem, then they're really used for eating, and that's not used for that purpose. So these items are beautiful or unusual, and therefore they're used towards worshiping or decorating the Avodah Zarah. Livona, we said frankincense is something you cannot sell to them. It's a specific type of livona, specific species or type of frankincense. It could be zaka, means the purest or very fine livona. Tana, umikolan mochrin lehem chavila. Now this is only true when you sell it in small quantities. If you sell it to them in large quantities at a wholesale level, then it's not a problem. Bekama chavila, what's a wholesale amount that you can sell to them? Perish Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteira in chavila pchuta mishlosha manin. There's no less than 3 manim, 300, that would be 300 zuz worth, or 300 manet, the 3 manet, which is 300 zuz, and that, I don't know if that's a weight or a price level, but either way, it's a large quantity. If you sell it at the wholesale level, we don't worry about it. So Gemara says, why don't we say here, he's a retailer, he's buying it wholesale from you, and then he's going to subdivide it, and then sell it out in smaller packages or smaller items, and they're going to be used towards a Avodah Zarah. So in the end, it's going to go towards a Avodah Zarah through this person who's purchasing it from you. It's going to go secondarily to someone else. There, Amar Abayi, Alifnei Makpedinan. On Lifnei Iver Lo Titem Yechshol, we are Makpid. When it comes to a Oved Avodah Zarah, when it comes to a Goy, we worry about the fact that you're going to cause him to violate or to violate the Mitzvah Neinoach of Avodah Zarah. So over there, we can't sell something directly that they will use for Avodah Zarah. What we're not Makpidan is Alifnei De Lifnei Lo Makpedinan. We are not Makpid when it's a secondary worry or once removed, which is that you'll sell it to one person who then will in turn sell it to someone who worship Avodah Zarah. On that, we're not Nitztaveh. We're not nitztavet for preventing the Oved Avodah Zarah, the Goy, from then going on and selling to someone else the item. That we're not mitzuveh on. Tosos, not on today's daf, but on tomorrow's daf, we'll discuss this differentiation that maybe this only has application by a Goy. By a Goy, that might be true, because a Goy is not nitztaveh in lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Therefore, you can't do something for him that will cause him to an avera. But if the only avera that he's going to commit afterwards is the avera of lifnei iver lo titen michshol, then you don't have to worry about that, because he may not be mitztaveh in lifnei iver. If he's not mitztaveh, or he's not mitzuveh in lifnei iver lo titen michshol, when you give it to him and then he allows someone else to worship Avodah Zarah, that's not your issue. And therefore, it does not apply about here. You don't have a responsibility to prevent a goy from going ahead and then causing someone else to violate the Avera. We're going to see later on in the Masech, on Chaf or Chaf Aleph, the Gemara there says, uses the same terminology of Lifnei and Lifnei Lifnei, which just says, doesn't literally mean there's no violation of Lifnei Iver, but rather it's too far removed. We don't think out. This is an impossible thing. We're not going to ask you to think of all possibilities or all permutations. This is too far-fetched. When it's too far-fetched, we say that there you're not responsible for what happens to the item after you have sold it. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Taono Goldavan, they may not sell the chicken or a white rooster. Am Rav Yonah, Rav Zera, Am Rav Zvit, V'iketemani, Am Rav Yonah, Am Rav Zera. This came from Rav Zera. Taono Gol, the me. He's coming around and saying, who has a Taono Gol? You can sell him whatever color you want, including the white one. Because he's only asking for a generic tanagol. He's not asking for specifically for a white one. Tanagol levan the meat, if he's specifically asking for a white one, asur limkor lo tanagol levan, then one may not sell him a white one, because if he's specifically asking for a white one, it looks like his intention is for a avodah zarah. Tanan. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this position of Rabbi Zeir. We're going to see a number of questions or a number of ways to learn, and then we're going to come back to ask on this position of Rabbi Zeir. Tanan. Our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yudom, Mokher, hu lo one is permitted when he sells them a group of chickens or roosters. You're allowed to sell a white one amongst the others. Hey, what's the case? If he came and says, I'm looking for chickens, and he says, or if he's saying, I'm looking for a white chicken, then why should you be able to sell it to him even amongst other chickens? I mean, if he specifically asks for a white one, and then you go sell him a whole bunch, including a white one, you've fulfilled his wish, and therefore you're providing for him what he wants for his avodah zarah. Ella, lav, the kamar, tanagol to me, must be that he just says generically, I'm looking for chickens. Then afilo ochi, the Rabbi Yehuda, ben a tanagolim, right, in bifneaz molo. But it sounds from like that. If he's asking on a generic basis, Rabbi Yehuda only permits it when you sell a white one amongst other chickens or other roosters, but not if you sell the white one by itself, and that's against Rabbi Zera's position. Rabbi Zera's position is that if he asks generically, you can sell him even a white one. And according to Tanakama, if you're better Tanagomi Namelo. According to Tanakama, it'll work out that even amongst Tanagomi, you can't sell it whatsoever. So that would be a problem for Reb Zera's position. Reb Zera just told us if you generically ask for a chicken, a rooster, then you can sell him a white one. And now we're suggesting that our Mishnah is a case where he's asking for a generic chicken, rooster, and we sell him, only allowed to sell him according to Yehuda, amongst other chickens or roosters. And the Tanakama says you can't sell it to him whatsoever. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Achamai Eskina, Kagon Damar Zevzeh. That the case here is where he says Zevzeh. Rashi says Zevzeh means that he just says, I'm looking for a black, white, and red chicken rooster. He lays out a whole bunch of colors, including white, in that enumeration. That's what Rashi says. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that Zeh Vzeh means, usually when we use the term Zeh in Tanakh, also over here, Zeh means I can point to it, that I'm actually designating the one I want. And what he's saying is Zeh Vzeh, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one. And he points to a white one, a red one, and a black one. So in that instance, that's the case over here. Our case in the Mishnah is a case where he's enumerating, according to Rashi, a whole bunch of colors, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, he's pointing out a whole bunch of different colors, and he's buying all of them. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he takes all the different colors and there's a white one amongst them, fine. Because then we know that he's not particularly looking for a white one, because he has to buy all these others with it. On the other hand, if he only wants a white one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we won't sell it to him, because then he's just playing games. We know he's asking for multiple colors because he really needs a white one. He wants to trick the Jew to know that he doesn't really looking for a white one. He doesn't want the Jew to withhold it from him. So he says all these colors, but in the end, he only takes a white one. That won't work. Rabbi Yehuda says, no go. Only if it's subsumed in the other group, or group of other chickens, is it permissible. The Tanakama says, no way, that you can't sell it whatsoever, because he thinks that that's a haroma. The whole time he's trying to cheat. That even with Ben HaTanagolim, right, that the fact that he asked for white already is an indication that we should be worried. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since he asked for multiple colors, that's okay. But that will not be okay. That will not be a stira to what Rabbi Zeira suggested before. Because there, Rabbi Zeira is just talking about, he comes and doesn't mention any color. He just says, I want a stam tanagol. There you can sell him a white one. Over here, he did list colors. The fact that he already listed colors makes us suspicious. But then if he buys multiple colors, we don't worry. But if he specifically takes white, then we do continue to worry about it. So Tanya Rami Ocho, we have a bright that supports that Rabbi Yehuda's position is in a case where he says Zeh Vzeh. Right, when he says this white Tanagol. So now again, Rabbeinu Tam is going to explain Zeh means he points to that. And Rashi just ignores the Zeh here. He just says he's asking for a Tanagol Levan. Aval Imamar Zeh Vzeh, if he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, points to these. Or Rashi says, I want white, black, and red. Mutar. Now, even when he says, I want a white one, or according to the Rabbeinu Tam, he pointed to a white one, if he's making a party for his son, he has somebody who's sick in his house, mutar. Over there it's mutar, because the underlying assumption is that he's going to use it for the celebration, or for a rufu'ah, for the choleh, and he's not going to use it towards avodah zarah. When it says, Ratnan, didn't we have earlier in our mesechta, back on Davchet, we said, Right, we had in our Mishnah early on that an Obi Chachamim is making a celebration for his son. Over there, the celebration is a wedding. If he's making a wedding for his son, you cannot sell him items on that day, because we assume that he's going to use it, or he's going to be so excited and happy that he's going to be makriv things to his avodah zarah to be thankful. So, but we said over there, it's oto ayom, va'oto aish bovat, that it's that day and that person. only that particular day and that particular person may you not transact with. But Gemara says, but nevertheless, we do know that you can't sell things to him. And over here, you're suggesting that you could sell directly to the Obed Chachamim. This Braita seems to suggest that you could sell directly to Obed Chachamim for a party. A specific case of Tvazik. Tvazik is a type of party. That means that when it comes to, if you look in Rashi here, it's the last Rashi on the Omot, that behind Mishteh, the Ktani Mutar Lim Korlo, the party that we're talking about there is Tanal Govan, Lava Mishteh Chupat Beno. It's not a matter of wedding. When he buys it for the wedding, it's clear he's going to use it for Avodah Zarah, and that's what the Mishnah told us back on Daf Chet, that we don't use it, we don't give it to him in that case. Aval, but Mishteh Shom Reyut. It's a social party, it's a social gathering. Shasim Narim Zemze, that the young people make together to get together. Young people make these get togethers. In that case, he's buying it to use as food or to use towards the party to make it a chashuv party, but he's not going to use it towards Avodah Zarah. So those are the difference. In a party that is, we're certain it's going to go towards Avodah Zarah, like a wedding, there you can't sell it to him. Then if it's a social type of party, that we don't assume there's any Avodah Zarah involved, then there, in that case, you are permitted to sell it to him. So tonight we have our Mishnah, Shar Kol Dvarim Staman Mutar Perushan Asur. Mishnah says that anything else that we don't know, that's not enumerated in the Mishnah, there if they say nothing, you can sell it to them. Uperushan, if you define, if they say clearly they're going to use it for Avodah Zarah, there you may not sell it to him. My Staman, or my Perushan. What does Stam and Perush mean over here? Ilem is Stama, de Kamar Chita Chivarta. Stam means I just want to buy white wheat. So Perushan, de Kamar Labodat Kachavim. And then when he goes in and he says Perush, means I'm buying it specifically for Avodah Zarah. So that would be the definition of Stam and Perush. Then, Lo Staman Tzricha L'Meimar. Then why would you have to tell me anything about Stam? Right? De Mazvinan, Velo Perushan Tzricha L'Meimar. And you don't have to tell me when he defines it, De Lo Mazvinan, that we don't sell it there. I mean, that obviously, if you just ask for white wheat, right, that's not something that he normally uses for Avodah Zarah, so why can't you sell it to him? Of course we can sell it to him. And number two is, if he specifically says it's for Avodah Zarah, of course you can't sell it to him. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah if it's telling us, oh, you can sell him white wheat if he says for white wheat, if he says for Avodah Zarah, you can't sell him. There's no Chiddush in the Mishnah. That's obvious. Ella, what it must be? Ella, Staman de Kamar Chite. And if Stam means that he just said wheat. Perushan de Kamar Chavarta, that he says white wheat. So if he just says, I want to buy wheat, go ahead and sell it to him. If he says white wheat, no good, you can't sell it to him. Michlau. From this you could infer that Tana Gola, when it comes to a chicken or rooster, afilu staman namilo, that if he doesn't say anything, if he doesn't define anything, then you can't buy it from him. So that will be against Rabbi Zeira again. And Rabbi Zeira before said if he generically asks for it, you can sell it to him. You can sell the white one to him because he's just asking generically. When he specifies, then you can't sell it to him. But over here, the end of our Mishnah says no, that when you say stam, when you say chite, when you just say wheat, then you can sell it to him. But chite havart, if he already asks for white wheat, which is something unique or particular, that he wants to use the word of Avodah Zarah, there you may not sell it to him. Implying that the earlier items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, it doesn't matter what he asks for. It doesn't matter if he says stam or not stam, you're not allowed to sell it to him whatsoever. So that would be a problem for Rabbi Zeru, who says that by the chickens you can sell them when he uses generic terms. Gemara says, everybody know, the old am stamam kamar, that when he says stam, it means chite chivarta, it means white wheat. And Perushan, when he defines it, the kamar labod kochavim. Ah, you said before that's simple, that's pshita, what do I need the Mishnah for? No, we do. Perushan it's trichale, I do need it. When he specifies it's for Avodah Zarah, I do need to know that it's not permissible to sell it to him. What do you mean? Of course you can't sell it to him if he says it's for Avodah Zarah. Why? Salkadat chamino, I would have thought, hi gavra lav the Avodah Chachamim, he doesn't need the white wheat. He doesn't need it for Avodah Zarah. So why is he saying that? Ela mivakud avik b'Avodah Chachamim. He's very attached. He is very close to this Avodah Zarah. And since he has such an affinity for the Avodah Zarah, that when people come and purchase things for the Avodah Zarah, he gives them a cheap price. So he thinks the same thing over here. He thinks Kuliyamanami Avukay. He thinks that everybody else also has the same affinity and is going to give him a big discount. So he's saying it's for the Avodah Zarah because he wants to get a discount on the item, not because he's going to use it towards the Avodah Zarah, same hochi. So maybe he can say it's okay. Geheche de lidvo li, right? So that he would say, Kuli amo nami aviku, aim with hochi. He says it, geheche de lidvo li, that they'll give him a discount. Kamash v'lan, that we don't say that, and it is asur. By Ravashi. Ravashi now poses a question. Taragalavan katua lami. If a person goes out into the shuk and says, please sell me, who has here a white rooster or chicken missing a finger, missing a leg? Who can I get that from? Now, limkolo tanagola van shalim mahu. What's the din here? What's the din here? To sell him a whole white chicken. The fact that he says he wants it with a missing an aver, we know he's not going to use it for avodah zarah, because otherwise he would ask for shalim. Or maybe he's being a trickster. He knows nobody has a white chicken or rooster. It's unusual for someone to have it missing an aver. So therefore he just uses that as a pretext to get people to sell him the white shalim, because that's all they're going to have. So imtim salomar, if you say hi irumehu kamarim, so again, like the Rambam does over here, that's a conclusion of the previous piece. That means that yes, we think that he's cheating over there. He's trying to trick you over there. If that's the case, tarnagol levan lemi, right? So now, what happens if he goes out and he says, "Who has a white chicken? Who has a white chicken?" Right? Then v'yavu le'shachor. And then they end up giving him a shachor v'shakal, and he's willing to buy it. They give him a red one, and he buys it v'shakal. After that, can you sell him a white one? Since he asked for a white chicken or rooster, and then when they sell him, on the other hand, when they sell him items like a red one or a black one, he doesn't refuse. He's willing to take it. He's willing to buy it. So the fact that he's willing to buy it indicates that he's not really particular about the Levan. So at this point, can you go ahead and sell him a white one? Mi amrina, do we say, Kevin diavu shachor b'shakal adom? So, b'shakal, adom b'shakal. When you give him a black one, he takes it. When you give him a red one, he takes it. Labdo kochavim bay. He's not using it for avodah zarah. Or dilma again, irumei kaimarim. He's playing games, because he knows that you're not going to sell him a white one. So he says, I'll buy one black one, buy a red one. And then he takes a white one, because he knows in the end you'll sell it to him. So take it. There, the Gemara leaves it as unresolved. Now this question over here, Rashi claims this question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan say, even if you mixed up a white one with a whole bunch of other chickens, roosters, you can't sell it to him. So certainly when you're selling them one at a time, you can't sell it to him. That's why Rashi learns this whole question is only according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, Tosafot suggests that the question could be even according to the Rabbanan. Because over there, by the case where he's buying it as a whole group and the white one's in there, there he never specified white and then takes something else, which is indicative of the fact that he's not really interested in white. The fact over here is that we have evidence that he's willing to take the tana gol outside of white. So maybe even over here, the chachamim would agree and say that he could purchase the white one here because we have evidence of the fact that he's not really interested in a white one. He was willing to buy black, he was willing to buy red, and now he's just buying a white one afterwards. So that Saratosu says the question is according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rashi suggests that the question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Meir Omer af dekel. At the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and additional items, such as a dekel tav, a good palm tree, and a chatzav. Those are asur. Now, the Gemara wants to know what's going on. What are these items? So, Amalei Rav Chizda Vimei Gmirei, we have learned that Avodah Chachavim d'Avram Avinu dal mea pirkei avin, that the Masecht of Avodah Zorah of Avram Avinu had 400 chapters in it. But on Chamisha tonight, we only have 5 chapters, v'lo yadin and Maika Minan, and I don't even understand them. It says, Maika Asha, what's bothering you? Diktani, because it says, Rabbi Meir Omer av dekel tav, chatzav niklas asur. So he says, well, we have these items that are mentioned in Mishnah Kodesh Meir. Dekel tavu dulu mazvinin, ha dekel bish mazvinon. Wait, so the implication from the Mishnah is that you can sell dekel tav, you can sell a nice palm tree, but you can't sell a poor palm tree. Batznan, we had a mission, explicit mission, that you're not allowed to sell anything that is attached to the ground, you're not allowed to sell it to them. So what's the difference if it's a dekel tav or a dekel bish? You're not allowed to sell them anything. So I'm like, my dekel tav, what does a good dekel mean? Peirot dekel tav. It means the fruits, the dates of a dekel, mean that these are good dates. These are really good dates. So that you're not allowed to sell to them. Pchenam ravuna, peirot dekel tav. Yeah, we're talking about here of a fruit or a tree that produces really nice fruits, produces really nice dates. Chatzav, what is this chatzav that we're talking about in the Mishnah? The Gemara says it's kisba. What is this kisba? Rashi gives two possibilities of what a kisba is. It's either a type of tamarim, a type of date that we're talking about here, or it's chatzuva shibotichem yeshua t'aretz. It's a type of grass that grows very straight, tall, and has deep roots that they use actually to divide up the shvatim and divide up the property in Eretz Yisrael. They use this plant because it has deep roots and it grows very straight. They use that as the dividing lines for when they subdivided Eretz Yisrael in the kibush v'chiluk that Yeshua did. So Rashi brings both of those possibilities down. Tosus over here says that Rashi says it's min tamarim, and then he says that there's evidence to that in the Gemara and other places that it's called that. So then he says, no, but anyway, I don't think so, because there seems to be some problems with that. Because if the case is over here, why are they talking about Dekel Tav? They should be talking about Dekel in general. They should talk about palm trees. Why are they saying specifically Dekel Tav over here, if the next line over here is a Chatzav, which is a palm tree or Min Tamarim, is dates? I mean, that the first thing in the Mishnah that Rav Meir says Asur is these types of, these good dates. Then we say afterwards Chatzav, which is regular dates, or some other type of dates. Well, regular dates are Asur, what do you need to tell me about Dekel Tav for? So Tosa said, there must be two types of Kisba. And because of that, he suggests that there are two types of Kisba. Those two Kisba is, one is dates, which is the other Gemara's, and our Gemara over here, where the Kisba is talking about a case of this type of grass that was planted, or type of bush that was planted to divide up the arts that Yeshua used to divide up the arts. This is like the second interpretation that Rashi brought down. Now, in the Aruch, when it comes to Chatzba, when you look up the word Chatzba, he says, Yarat Vash Kane Shagadal Bot Chukra. He says that it's called a Yarat Vash. That's what it's called. The item that you grow on it, I think sugar. It sounds like sugar cane. That's what he's talking about here. That this is a sugar cane tree. That's what the Chatzav is, that you're not allowed to sell to them. It must have been an unusual item or something that was sweet and used in celebration, and therefore you couldn't sell it to them. So these very nice or beautiful figs, as well as the sugar cane, according to the Aruch, or according to Rashi, Tamarim, or according to Tosfot and the second interpretation of Rashi, we're talking about these types of special weeds that they use for dividing up the land, that are used probably also for decoration or considered something special. Those you're not allowed to sell to them. Now the last item that we mentioned was Niklas. What's Niklas? Niklas is Koraiti. Rashi says it's a type of Peirot, and the other possibilities is a type of Karte Levona, a type of a dust, a frankincense dust. It says that I don't think that's the right answer because of the continuing Gemara, which is Amalei Abayil Rav Dimi. It's not Niklas. The Mishnah says Niklas. I don't even know what Niklas is. Vatamar Koraiti. And then you go ahead and define for me what this Niklas is, and you say to me it's Koraiti. So now after I have this Koraiti, doesn't help me because I don't know what that is either. Vatamar Koraiti Loyadinamai Haniklan. What have you done for us? Says Amalei Ahani Luchu. I helped you out. Chiyazlat Hotam. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, Amar Luhu Niklas Lo Yade. You said to them, I want to know what Niklas is. They won't know what you're talking about. Amar Luhu Koraiti. When you tell them Koraiti, Biyade Bekam Chavulach. They'll know what that is, and they'll show it to you over there. So that's why he told them the definition, even though they didn't know what it was. But for when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they'd be able to show them exactly what that item was. The question of whether this word Niklas is found in the Mishnah or not is somewhat subject to a machlokas. If you go back to the Mishnah, if you look in there, we have Dekel Tav Vichatzav, and then we have the additional item of Niklas. So that's what we have. The Gemara seems to indicate that it's a part of the Mishnah. But our Mishnah and the Mishnayot, and like in the Perush Rambam, don't include these items, and actually have a different item called Naklivam, which is a different item entirely. So now we have the explanation now of the items that Rabbi Meir says you're not permitted to sell. We asked what the Dekel Tav is, the fruits, or very nice dates. We had the Chatzav, which we had three definitions for, the Aruch, the Tosafot, and the second interpretation of Rashi, as well as the dates mentioned, the first interpretation of Rashi, and the Niklas, which he says is also a different type of fruit that was used in decorating or serving the Avodah Zarah. So all of those items are impermissible, according to Rabbi Meir, because we assume that they're going to be used towards Avodah Zarah. Now, the Tosfot over here concludes at the end that he says that at the end of this piece of the Gemara, this end of the sugya, Rabbi Baruch made a comment and said that anything you sell to a Komer, if you sell anything to a priest, that you can automatically assume it will be used for Avodah Zarah. So this whole idea that when we say Stam, you can sell anything to anybody, because we don't know it's going to be used for Avodah Zarah. We assume it's going to be used in a mundane purpose, not for the worship of the Avodah Zarah, unless they specify. But when we sell it to Komer, it's as if it's been specified, because it's Davor Barurhu, that he's going to use it for Takrovit, because otherwise, why else would he be buying these items? And therefore, he says it's also usher to sell wax to Ovid Kochamim by Yom Eid, on their special holiday. You're not allowed to sell wax to them because they're going to use them for the candles to worship the Avodah Zarah. But any other day when it's not their holiday, that you could sell it to them because candles are used in the house as well. So it's only on that particular holiday that we say, don't sell these items. But when it's a rest of the year, then we say, okay, then you can do it. But when it comes to Komrim, Rabbi Baruch over here wants to suggest that you can't sell anything to the Komri Avodah Zarah. For instance, items like Levona or Frank Incense, you can't say, oh, if they say Stam, we can buy it, that you can go ahead and buy it, because that doesn't work. Because we assume that Levona, when it goes to a Komer, is automatically going to be used for Takrod or Avodah Zarah. So anything that you would assume that they would use in their worship or their service, when you sell to the Komer, it's as if he explicitly says, I'm using it towards Avodah Zarah. You don't have to wait for him to define that for you. Then if it's an item that's used for eating, is used in other mundane activities, then by a Komer, you have the same as anybody else, which is that the likelihood it's going to be used for a mundane issue, and you don't have to worry about selling him that item. Okay, we'll stop over here.